welcome to the special podcast produced by Research Talk in conjunction with the upcoming European Customer Experience World event in London on May the 18th and 19th, 2010. I'm Dean Van Leeuwen, co-founder of the consultancy Tomorrow Today, and I'm pleased to welcome Alfred Lin, Chief Operating Officer of renowned online retailer Zappos, recently sold to Amazon, and Marcus Kramer, the Director of European Marketing Operations at the iconic brand Harley-Davidson. By the way, if you fancy coming along to the conference on the 18th and 19th of May, or want to just find out some more, pop over to ecew.co.uk. Welcome, chaps. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Right, in this podcast, I thought that we could have a short discussion about one of the ideas that I believe is increasingly central to improving the customer experience, namely humanizing the organization. Now, social media is one aspect to this, but there's also an internal perspective, and I know that both of you will have a lot to say. So, Alfred, you know, American listeners are very familiar with Zappos. For the benefit of everyone else, could you briefly explain why you are regularly cited as an example of retail customer excellence?
Sure. I don't know if we're a real great example of retail customer excellence, but we are an example where we believe that the most important thing about our business and our competitive advantage is our culture, and our culture is very, very strong at Zappos. That allows us to do a lot of different things. For example, one of the things that we get cited for is being able to allow our call center agents to be themselves. We don't have any scripts. We don't have any call times. We don't monitor how long they speak to a customer. It could be as short as 30 seconds. It could be as long as 6 hours. We allow them that flexibility because we have trained them and interviewed them for fitting into the corporate culture of Zappos.
Marcus, most folks will have heard about your iconic brand, Harley-Davidson. Where would you say the brand is today?
I think we're at a very interesting point in time with Harley-Davidson from many perspectives. Firstly, what we see is that we connect with more and more people, not just in one set of demographics, but we connect with younger people as well as with older age groups. You know, for example, over the past 2 years, like everyone probably, we've lost quite a lot of volume in absolute numbers. But when we look at market share, for instance, that's actually telling a very different story. It actually tells us that we are able to connect with more people, and that's exactly what we do. We connect with people first and foremost before we actually throw the product in the mix. And for example, as one of our family members that's still with the company, Willie G. Davidson, says, we ride with you, and that's exactly what we do. So the boundaries between the company itself and the consumer space have always been quite fluid, and I think that pays off.
So tell me, you mentioned there that you're connecting with younger and older customers. Do you do that? Do you find that you connect with them in different ways?
Yes, we absolutely do. I mean, you know, you go to one of our dealerships, go on a Saturday, for instance, and just drive a ride up there, and you will probably find a very different set of people than if you go for one of the traditional biker events. Yet for us to continuously grow, it is also important to connect with competitive owners, for instance, or with younger audiences that wouldn't traditionally just walk into one of our dealerships. If you have a corporate culture that allows your people to flex and stretch themselves across demographics and across generations, then that's a really strong point, I think, for any company to interact more closely with the consumer space.
You touched there on people, which is really the central theme of this podcast today. It's about humanizing the organization. And there's a strong element of social media about this. And my research is showing that Facebook and Twitter are great indicators of customers' sort of insatiable appetite for personal relationships, and personal relationships even with companies. But I think it goes a lot wider to a complete cultural shift within organizations. And what do you feel about this movement? Alfred, I know you've done a lot of work around sort of this happiness principle.
So there's a number of elements about this. One is, so for Zappos, we started experimenting with social media very, very early on. We actually don't like the word social media or social networking because for Zappos, we're trying to make a personal, emotional connection with the customer. And whatever channel that the customer wants to speak to the company with or the way we want to speak with the customer, that's the channel we want to be able to talk to them about. And for us, it's about building relationships. We do have a large Twitter following, @Zappos on Twitter. I think it's over 1.7 million. our CEO, Tony Hsieh, is the one that tweets those things out. It's his personality. Most of it is about inspiring and moving people to the next level, about happiness. It has nothing to do with trying to make another sale. But we're doing all of these things to connect with the customer in a personal, emotional way. We also use Twitter in the office. So that's 400, 500 employees of Zappos out of our 1,600, 1,700 employees are on Twitter. And it allows for employees to connect with each other and help with the culture of the company in a way that we would have never expected. Two people could be close by to each other and they'd see each other's Twitter streams and we're like, oh, let's meet up. It facilitates serendipitous events that would normally not happen. The other thing I would say is don't think about this booming social media channel as a thing that is the most important channel. It is a very important channel, but we're all on the phone right now because it's still a very important way for the four of us to connect on the phone to do this podcast. And for our philosophy, the phone is a under-recognized branding experience. You have, when a customer calls you, you have their undivided attention for 5 minutes on average. And that's a great branding experience.
I've been really impressed with Zappos and the fact that you don't use Twitter and YouTube and Facebook to really push your products. How did you come to that decision?
Our brand has evolved from selling shoes on the internet and providing a greater selection to providing the best customer service to using our culture as a platform to provide that customer service to now delivering happiness.
Marcus, how is Harley-Davidson humanizing your brand and your organization?
Well, yeah, good question. Firstly, I think I'd like to very much agree with what Alfred just said regarding digital and social media. It's certainly not something that we would recognize as, you know, let's say just another channel that enables ever increasing business. Particularly since we are very much an organization that has had a lot of social interactions in communities, community building, for instance, and a lot of dialogue within the consumer space 20 years ago with the incarnation of Hawk. The Harley Owners Group is today probably the largest manufacturer-sponsored motorcycling community or group, has about 1 million members. And, you know, that has happened many, many years ago, and those interactions, both with our employees that participate actively into motorcycling, for instance, they took place, the dialogue takes place. So for us, this is just another, it's just another channel, really, and it's just another channel where we can facilitate the exchange with our consumers directly. But quite frankly, it hasn't changed the way we do business, not very, very much. Yes, we use it into outreach marketing, for example, to reach younger audiences. Yes, we have a Facebook page, and yes, we have tweets. But overall, I think in the grand scheme of things, one can too quickly run to the conclusion that this is how the world runs. We believe the return to the real or the real physical experience through our products with our consumers is still the predominant thing.
Marcus, I agree with you and Alfred as well. I mean, our research is showing that customers are really seeking personal relationships with companies. And I've come across a fascinating piece of research from Oxford University. And they've come up with three universal rules of friendship. And they are be supportive, share dreams and aspirations, and tolerate other friends. And I think that's a fantastic framework that businesses can build their customer relationship and strategies around. What examples are you finding within your businesses and outside, you know, companies that you admire?
In the U.S., we like this company called In-N-Out Burger. They're mostly on the West Coast. They're a very small chain, a family-owned private business. The way they run their business is very much about just serving each customer. When you walk in, and as you know, with fast food chains, the line or the queue tends to be very long, especially during certain hours of the day. But they're able to sort of anticipate that, and you go in and everybody's happy. They serve you very, very quickly. They move you out of the line very quickly. That's an example of a company that we admire because of their commitment to service.
Let me give you a Harley example, right? I think, you know, I sit here in Oxford in the UK, and you know, if you could look outside the window here, it's beautiful weather. It's sunshine, blue sky. It's the perfect weather to get on a bike. Now, life example, what happened is that 11:30, I get an email from my assistant to say, hey, there's a few people here just hopping on a bike to grab lunch. enjoy some nice countryside roads, get on the bike. And before you know it, you have our VP, you have from the secretary through the receptionist through director of IT, being on a bike at 12:30, stopping over in a pub, having a good lunch outside. And guess what? There's a whole number of people out there on their Harleys or other bikes. And you sit down and you couldn't possibly tell what the company's hierarchy looks like. You couldn't even tell who's a customer and who's working for the motor company. And I think that's very expressive of the culture we operate in. But it's not new, right? It's not that when you talk about humanizing, it's something we've just done for many, many years. And I can't see a possible shift within Harley to ever change that, because we think it's great. I do think, however, without them hopefully not sounding too proud of what we're doing, that there's many other environments, including companies I've previously worked in, where that certainly is, and there's a lot of leverage for other companies to take a little bit or little pieces out of such a corporate culture as well.
Now, what about the cynics? What about the people who say, you know, making business more personal is just warm and fluffy stuff and it doesn't pay?
On any given day, our sales, 75% of our sales are from repeat customers, while we're growing a very, very fast percentage rate. We allow anybody to come when they're in our Las Vegas area, take a tour of Zappos and experience the Zappos culture for themselves. And it is something hard for skeptics to see, but if you come and visit, you'll understand that it's a very special environment.
Marcus, how about you? What would you say to the skeptics?
I would say go and try for yourself. One philosophy we hold on very strongly to is treat every customer as a custom. Right? And a custom in the motorcycle world is a customized bike. So it tells you something about the individuality, because no two Harleys are alike. They'd like to personalize their own experience. And that's what we do with a very thick book full of very cool accessories. And that's the way we treat people as well. When you hear personalized services, insurance and banking industries, and you think, oh, they're going to treat you personalized, you phone up a number, and before you know it, you probably listen to 3 minutes of some pre-recorded voice. We're just not into that game. It's a human interaction, and I think that's where the personalization and the relationship building starts.
Alfred, what about profitability? I mean, treating your customers in this way, do you find that it's a profitable business model?
Yes, we're part of a public company now, so our results are combined with parent company Amazon, but some of our results were made public during the acquisition, and we continue to be very profitable.
And Marcus, in your experience?
Well, you know, I have maybe a very particular view on this, but the things that I clearly observe that's happening is that the consumer space, the organizational space, and the brand space, those spaces are converging very rapidly. So for me, this isn't a question about increasing profits. This is a question about surviving for the long term. Because unless you actually have a model that does this justice, humanizing the organization, so to speak, it will be very difficult to attract good talent, because no one in the future, I can imagine, will want to work in an environment that is stereotypical corporate culture of the past, and it will be even more difficult to retain good talent.
I agree with that. Actually, when we started out, there were two goals, one of which was to get to $1 billion in gross merchandise sales and be a profitable company. That was one goal. That was financially based, big goal. Then the other goal was to be one of the Fortune 100 best companies to work for. We got to $1 billion in gross merchandise sales in 2008. In January 2009, we got on the Fortune 100 best companies to work for. And just like Marcus said, being a company that other people want to work for is a very, very important thing, because it's getting harder and harder to recruit good talent, and you need good talent to attract good customers.
Well, chaps, sadly, we've come to the end of this podcast. This has really been fascinating, and I hope very useful for our listeners. So thank you to Marcus Kramer of Harley-Davidson.
Thank you. Welcome.
And thanks to Alfred Lynn of Zappos.
Thank you.
If you're coming to the European Customer Experience World event in London on the 18th and 19th of May, then we hope this discussion has appropriately stimulated your cerebral areas. All of us on this call look forward to seeing you there. That's right, you get to interrogate these fine people in person. If you're interested in coming to the event, act fast now and secure your tickets, as well as accommodation. Further details on the website, which is ecew.co.uk. Thanks very much to researchtalk.co.uk for developing and producing this podcast. Do pop there for more podcasts and valuable material. I've been your host, Dean Van Leeuwen, co-founder and intellectual adventurer of Tomorrow Today, and you can find me at tomorrowtoday.uk.com. Hope to see you soon. Bye for now.